Sorry, guys. I thought I'd just put a song on or something and try to let people load in here before I got started, but I'm just going to get moving with it. I got to go get my truck. It's finally fixed. And to be honest with you guys, I used to be like a really, like, I still consider myself a very good mechanic, but there's just certain things that you cannot do by yourself anymore. Like, so, like an alignment. And that's what I had going on. You can get it close with a tape measure. You can measure your toe and everything, but it's just not going to be right. So you got to go pay people with that kind of shit. So ended up spending, God, like $1,050 today to get my truck fixed. Had an alignment done. Had a new steering box put in, a new return line off the steering pump, pitman arm. Yeah, I think that's about it. But and they said, oh, babe, we're giving you a 3% cash back. And I was like, oh, man, 3%, you're awesome. You know, here, I'll give you, I just gave you $1,000. You're going to give me 3% back? Sweet. You can tell that's exaggeration, right? Anyways, you guys, we are here. This is video number three. I'm thinking I probably started this a little too early because I had it set for 7:30 and I'm live now, but I have to, like I said, I gotta go get my vehicle and stuff. So I'm just going to get this knocked out. And, yeah. And that song was Little Peep Save That Shit, I believe is what that called. I think it's called Save That Shit. Great song. Unfortunately, he is no longer with us. I believe he died of addiction. Sad deal. Super sad deal. So tonight, I had no idea what my topic was going to be. And so I hit Soil Botanicals. What is going on? So I was like, you know, I'm going to see what Menthol thinks I should do. I kind of feel like, you know, I owed him that. And so he texted me and he said, fears. So we're going to talk about fears, your biggest fears. Satan in hell. Yeah. Anyways, so that's what we're going to talk about. And I'm just going to touch on this really fast and then I'm going to get over it and I'm not going to come back to the subject, just so you guys know. If you guys liked the show last night, thank you. If not, sorry. It was pure honesty, nothing but honesty is going to be from the show. So, and if anybody thinks I was there bagging on somebody or anything like that, it had nothing to do with any of that. It was nothing but telling you guys how much I love a person and that that person needs to have respect. That's it. Like, we need to help him go through this hard time. Okay? That's all we're doing. Support, support, support. Anyways, I'm going to get over that. So tonight is we're going to talk about fears. And when I got this topic brought up, you know, I have my own definition of what fear is. And I think we all kind of have this conception of what fear is. But fear, if you look at the term, let's take a look at the term. I'm going to read it right off the Google. Fear. Fear. Fear is feelings induced by perceived danger or threat that occurs in certain types of organisms, which cause a change in metabolic and organ functions that ultimately change a behavior, such as feeling, hiding, and freezing from a perceived traumatic event. Yeah, that makes sense, right? So I guess I have to tell you guys what my biggest fears. And this is going to sound really dumb because it's pretty much never conceivable to happen, but it's one of those things that stuck with me my whole life. You know when you're a little kid and something happens to you and you just never forget it. Okay, well, there's three things, and I'm sure there's more, and I'm just not thinking about them right now. But there is three things that really traumatized me when I was a kid. The first thing that traumatized me that I can remember was actually a movie. It was Pet Sematary. That is a Stephen King's movie. I was probably 5 years old, maybe six. And my parents had that show on in our house, in our old house in the basement, and they were watching it. And I was supposed to be in bed, and I had snuck downstairs because I was just a kid being a kid trying to stay awake and do cool shit. So I snuck downstairs and I started watching the show. My parents had a couch to the right side, and then my dad always sat in a lazy boy on the left, and that's where he was sitting, and he's kicked back, and my mom's over here on the couch, and they're watching the show. And to their surprise, they had no idea that I'm sitting right there in the middle of the couch and the lazy boy watching this show that's rated R, that should never, no 5-6-year-old should ever watch this show. No one should ever watch this show. But yet here I am staring at a Stephen King movie, and my parents had no idea. Okay, so that right there tells you, obviously, there's a problem. And the movie itself really wasn't scary to me. You know what I mean? It's like, I got the concept. It was, you know, take your pets or whoever, bury them in the cemetery, spoiler alert, and they come back alive, but they're not the same, right? People would take their animals there, they'd bury them, they come back alive, but they're never the same. They're kind of like evil pets and whatever. And that one dude even takes his baby that gets hit by the semi truck, spoiler alert, and, you know, buries him in the cemetery, and then his baby comes back alive, and he takes the scalpel and, you know, cuts the old man's mouth wide open, you know? Like, I remember all that, but that didn't bother me. The thing that bothered me most about that movie was when the chick was talking about feeding her sister. If any of you guys have ever seen Pet Sematary, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There is a scene in that movie where this woman is talking about how she had to take care of her sister until she died. And there is a woman laying on a bed and she's spoon feeding her sister. But this chick is like she looks like a zombie corpse, but she's still alive and she's eating this mush of whatever, you know. And I just never forgot what that looked like to me. I can still see it right now in my head. That scared the shit out of me. And I'll never forget it, because once I saw that, I tried to sneak back up the stairs. And my house wasn't big. I grew up in a very small home. And I went up the stairs, you know, and there's only two bedrooms upstairs. And I'll never forget it, because I walked down the hallway and I got to go get in my bed, all right? But I was scared to turn my light on because I knew that chick might be in my bed. It's amazing at how much I seriously can remember that, you know. And ever since that, anyways, so I went and got in bed, right? And the first thing you do as a little kid is you think these blankets will protect me. I pulled them over my head, you know, and eventually I fell asleep. But for years, every time I was in the dark and I had to go back into my bedroom, I was so scared to go back into my bedroom because I thought the Pet Sematary woman was going to be laying in my bed waiting for me. That was the first time I was ever scared from like a movie or something that really didn't exist. It's an irrational fear, really, but it in reality, it was a fear for me. So that was the first one. The second fear, and as far as I'm concerned, is very rational fear. And that was when I fell in the ice. So in Utah, obviously, if you guys have never been here, we have very big mountains. And in these mountains, we have a lot of reservoirs up here. We have a lot of lakes, natural lakes, and then we also have reservoirs that has been made to capture the snowpack. And in the wintertime, it gets really cold here, and obviously it freezes, and so you can walk across the lakes. And it's just what people do here. So, you know, in the wintertime, if you like to fish, if you guys are fishermen, you would love to live here, because literally you can just walk out, take your auger, drill a hole through the ice, drop your pole, put your little tent heater up, your little thing, and just fish all day. It's a fisherman's paradise. But if you go up American Fork Canyon, you get up to the top, it's called Tibble Fork. And then in that area, there's a reservoir, Tibble Fork Reservoir right there. And then behind that lake, there's a big bowl. It's literally just an opening to a bowl, and then it's just a big round bowl in the back. Okay. Naturally made. It's all mountains. And we were, me and my dad and my mom and my sister, and I guess my parents' friends were there and their kids. And we were walking, you know, to the back of that bowl because it was a tubing area. So if you've ever been snow tubing, it's funner than hell. And that's just something we did growing up. We went tubing. So I'm walking across the lake with my dad, and I was holding his hand. And I honestly can't tell you how old I was. I was pretty small, though. I was probably right around that same age. I was probably 5 or 6, maybe. And we were walking on the edge, and you could kind of tell where the mountain actually kind of came down versus where the lake had started. And we were just kind of on that cuff over the mountain and the lake. And I remember I was just walking. We were pretty close to the area, because in the back of the bowl, in the bottom was nothing. There was no water, nothing. So you had nothing to worry about. And yeah, I could see all the kids flying down the mountain tubing and sledding and snowboarding and whatever. And so we get back up in that area, and sure shit, I heard a crack, crack, and boom, I went right through the ice. Luckily, my dad actually held my hand, or he was holding my hand, I should say. But when you drop through that ice, you drop so fast, okay? And when you're that young, that's super terrifying and it's super cold. So I dropped through the ice and I remember just that cold, like that coldness there. It's so scary, like, because you literally can almost feel like your body shuts down right there, you know. And at 5 or 6, I took swimming lessons when I was a kid, but I don't even know at that point if I had ever had swimming lessons or not. I can't remember. But long story short, it scared the shit out of me. And my dad pulled me back up, you know, with my arm. It got me up. And they took me to the back of the bowl where everybody was and built a fire. And they had me take all my clothes off except for my underwear and sit next to the fire, which was super embarrassing for me. Cause you're like this little kid, there's all these strangers around. They all knew what happened. And my parents had me sitting there basically naked around a fire. Well, I had underwear on, but, and I look back at that now, and that was the smartest thing you could have done. Cause they didn't want me getting hypothermia. They wrapped a blanket around me. You know, it was a smart thing. But when you're a kid, you're like, oh, you didn't even care. Like, it didn't even register in my head that I almost died. It was just like, oh my God, all these people see me in my whitey tighties, you know? So that's always stuck with me. So that was a rational fear. Then I had the irrational pet cemetery. And another one, the third one that I can remember, was another movie. Movies, for some reason, got to me more than anything, you know? They just scared the shit out of me. And that was, this is going to sound so dumb, but I don't care. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? I don't know if you guys have ever seen that movie. It's kind of an old school movie. It has the guy from Back to the Future in it, the doc. It has that other guy that's kind of a chubby guy that's the cop that helped save Roger Rabbit. That guy, I can't remember his name. Anyway, it's a great flick. I love it. Back in the day, that's just cool. You got cartoon characters versus a reality show. You know, it was cool. But the scene that stuck with me in that movie more than anything was the part where the guy gets ran over by a steamroller. And I don't know if you guys ever remember that, but there's a part where the guy's trying to kill all the cartoons or whatever, and he gets stuck in the tar, and this Roger Rabbit, I believe, throws the steamroller in drive, and then it runs his ass over. And you can see that guy, and he literally gets ran over from his toes up, right? So he's getting squished the entire time. And just that scene where he's like screaming, he's like, "Wah!" you know, freaking out. And then it pancakes him, and then it shows him kind of like hover, and he blows his thumb up, and he fills himself back up. And I, for some reason, that just registered me. That scene didn't scare me, but the thought of getting ran over by a steamroller is fucking terrifying. Think about dying like that. I mean, just think about getting ran over by a full-blown steamroller. That, to me, would be a one shitty way to die. That's another irrational fear, right? So you got two irrationals and a rational fear. I almost fell through the ice. I had two movies that scared the shit out of me. Those were like the ones that stuck with me the most. You know, and then you always have that one experience that you know you hope nobody ever has to go through again. And it's kind of personal, you know, and I guess I can talk about it. But the worst thing that ever scared me was seeing a guy I went to school with commit suicide. I wasn't physically there. But I found it. I found the body. That was pretty messed up, man. So when people go, "I don't know why Logan Paul so bad, he went and filmed it," that is the most terrifying, fucked up thing you can ever do. That dude shouldn't even be allowed on YouTube after that, you know. I knew the kid. I didn't like hang out with him a ton, but I hung out with him in high school. And I guess you could say he was troubled. You know, he wasn't like the best student. He wasn't like straight A kid or anything like that. I don't even know how his grades were, to be honest with you. But there was an orchard. I went to school in Orem, and back in the day, a lot of that area, you know, it was apple orchards. And I'm not going to get into the nitty gritty or anything like that. But the bottom line is he wrote a note about his girlfriend dumping him, and he hung himself. And me and a couple of my buddies were going to smoke cigarettes in the orchard and found him. I mean, we called the cops, everything had happened, you know. It was a suicide, man. That's like the most fucked up thing you could ever see. You know, suicide to me is really weird, because I feel like if you are straight up miserable, like if you have cancer, like stage 4 cancer, and you're just in pain, you know, you should have, and you don't want to, it's like time to go. It's time to check out. You know, there's nothing they can do. You know, I understand that concept of it. Okay. I also think it's also like the bitch way out, because yeah, it does, you know, you can say it doesn't affect anybody but you, right? But that's not true at all. You know, when people commit suicide, you know, you've just affected a ton of people, family, friends, you know, parents, siblings, kids. You know, that impact is a lot more devastating on your family than you think it is. It's a serious deal, you know. But that right there was the most shittiest thing I've ever walked into, period. That is my biggest fear, is like somebody I know close, somebody I'm close to is dying. That is terrifying to me. Like, especially when you have kids, right? When you have kids, it's like your number one goal is to protect those children. And then you know, the kids get a little bit older and they come home and they're super sad. And you ask what's going on, and they tell you, you know, so-and-so is mean to me at school. You know, so they're getting bullied. And as a parent, you just want to go, you know, down there and wring the little suckers' necks. But obviously you can't do that, right? Personally, me, when I hear that stuff, I want to go over to their parents' house and I want to ring their parents' necks for allowing their kids to act like that, for not disciplining them, right? But at the same time, you can't do that, because it's not the parents' fault all the time. It could be, but you don't know. That kid could be, you know, 9 miles away from his parents in a different mind mentality in general. So, you know, how do you handle it? You know, that movie, there was that, hold on, I gotta get a drink, guys. My throat is super dry. Hold on. There was a movie. I think it was a Netflix show. It was either on Netflix or Hulu. And it was about that girl that killed herself. And she makes like the tape. You know, and then it like goes around and shows like what had happened and why she, like when she cut her arm in the tub. That movie was fucking horrible to watch, dude. Like, I hated that show so bad. It was actually a good show until the end. I had no idea that was going to happen, right? Well, I guess I kind of did, but I hated that show. Like, I hated it so bad, because you showed a teenager pretending to commit suicide, okay? But in my opinion, I feel like the producer kind of glorified it, and I wasn't cool with that. And that's just my opinion, but at the end of the day, he has the right to make that video. You know, who am I, who gives a shit? It doesn't matter anyways, you know. But I don't know, man, I just didn't like it. And I think if anybody has ever experienced that personally, I don't think they would ever make something like that. I really don't. That show fucked me up. Like, literally, like, that was horrible. I cringe when I think about her cutting her arm. Like, it was horrible. It was disgusting to me. So, yeah. So I guess that kind of segues into teaching your kids how to be kind to one another. Right? I don't think I'd want my kids to know they were part of something because that somebody committed suicide because they were part of that. If that makes any sense. You can't blame, you know, it's not like that. People blow this completely out of context. But what I'm saying is I think as an adult, if you have children, you have a responsibility to teach them to be kind to each other. And if another kid is not being kind to your kid, they just need to walk away. But bullying and, you know, all that other stuff is just not right. And it's not cool because you're putting a lot of pressure on that other kid. And kids today will find the easiest way out. It's not like it used to be, you know. It's an easy way out. And we don't talk. I don't think this gets talked about enough. Suicide is like, it's a pretty big deal. You know, they like how many veterans are doing it right now? There's like, I think it's, what do they say? It's like 21 veterans a day or something like that. 21 military person a day are killing themselves. And then you have people who are committing suicide by cop. You see a lot of that, a lot of cops, you know, killing people. And it's because the person wanted to die. So they acted in a way that the cop had to shoot him. You know, you have people hanging themselves. Just a lot of weird shit, you know? And those people don't, it's not like they're coming back. You know, how many people probably hung themselves in a jail cell? And at the end of the day, they were probably innocent. That's pretty shitty. And a lot of times too, you know, like we lock people up for what? For smoking dope. You guys smoked weed, we're going to throw you in a cell. We're going to take away like 20 years of your life because you did something we disagree with. The system is not cool, man. The system is jacked. I think certain people need to be in prison, but not for the reasons. There's certain reasons that you should be in prison and there's certain reasons you should not. But when I watch, you know, people and I can tell they're sad, right off the get-go, my main instinct is to try to lift that person up because they are in an act of desperation. They're trying to find a reason not to leave. And jump in, a lot of people will be like, oh, fuck that. He's just looking for attention. Fuck him. Don't do that. You got to help those people. You got to quit being selfish and you got to help those people. Because if you don't, that person might commit suicide. You never know. It's insane, like the statistics right now of how many people are on SSRIs. Like it's a huge number. And I think that we can cure a lot of this bullshit and we can save a lot of people's lives just by being kind. Literally, just by being kind, just by saying, hey, you know, how's it going? How's things going at the house? You know, act like you actually give a shit about somebody besides just rolling your eyes and walking away, or, you know, there's just so many more things we can do that we don't do. And the thing that it is like, I've been trying to watch people and I don't see like a lot of good happening, you know, and maybe I'm just not seeing it. Maybe I'm just observing and trying to find the bad stuff in people. Could be. So I've got to watch that. I got to pay attention more, but I see a lot of stuff and I think, man, I wish that person didn't act like that. or I wish they didn't do this, you know. But we can't control people. But I will say, if you are trying to be in a positive environment and you have those people surrounding you in a negative environment, you need to let those people go away. It's time to go. Literally, if you have negative friends, bounce. They're not your friends. If you have people that compare things, bounce. You don't need to be around people like that. You only need to be around people that are going to try to embrace what you're doing, help you out, encourage you to do better, and just be a better person. If you don't have people around you like that, time to go. Bounce out. See you, bitch. I'm gone. I don't have a lot of friends myself, but I have the friends that I do have are very close. And at the end of the day, I could call them right now and they'll be here in 10 minutes because that's just how they are. So that's what you guys got to do, is surround yourself with good, positive people and shit will get better. Okay. So I talked about my fears. You know, like I said, as a father, I would be devastated if my kids ever did anything like that. That would tear me apart. And that is my biggest fear. But we all have fears. So I've kind of said what I wanted to say. I have to go get my vehicle, you guys. So I'm going to cut this short. I was only going to do probably 30 minutes. And it looks like I'm already at 30 minutes. So I'm going to cut it down. I'm a bounce. So I'm a wrap it up. But please, change the way you think about stuff. Change the way you view things. Try to see other people's views. You don't have to agree with it, but try to observe it and see it and just try to get where they're coming from and then try to find a medium in between. And when it comes to fear, I guess don't let that stuff happen, right? If something scares you, don't do anything that's going to allow that fear to come true. If it's stupid fear stuff, you can get over that, you know, skydiving, whatever. You can get over that kind of stuff. But suicide, you know, stupid shit like that, like, yeah, time to bounce. Also, I noticed Tim Rebids smacked out a video today, a little promo. Looks like he's going to be changing his channel up and going to be moving away from the Kratom and be going towards more of a production side and doing his own thing, which I'm totally 100% on board with that. Shout out to Tim Rebids. I hope you do that, man. I hope you kick ass and I hope you get a killer base of people to watch you and you get to do what you want to do. That's all that matters, man. Just do what you want to do. I'd rather have 200 subscribers that love my content than 1,000 that don't give a shit. And I think I got those subscribers right now. I think I do. Big shout out to Menthol. Got you, kid. Anyways, check out Tim's Revis. Check out Menthol's channel. If you guys like what I'm doing, if you guys like these little spouts that I've been doing every night, let me know. Leave a comment in the section below. You can email me at kratomchronicles@gmail.com. Give me a topic for tomorrow, you guys. I need a topic. Give me one topic and then I'm going to take it. I'm going to run with it. And I'll tell you what, if you email me the topic and I pick your topic, I'll shout you out in the next video and we'll talk about it. I think that'd be cool. Let's get you guys interactive and get back in here. So follow me on Twitter at Dirty D, DirtyDPodacT podcast. Follow me at Dirty D podcast on Twitter. Email me at kratomchronicles@gmail.com. Leave a comment. Make sure you hit the like button. Make sure you guys subscribe. Maybe tomorrow too, I can talk about, I don't know about that. Anyways, yeah, leave a comment, you guys. Let me know what you guys think. Make sure you guys check out all those other guys like I told you about. And I hope you guys have a good night and make sure you guys are kind to each other and be good. See you guys.